Take your Bibles, you would, the Gospel of Mark. So first is Matthew, then is Mark. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I was planning to preach this last Wednesday. And of course, we didn't have church Wednesday. And so I get to preach it today, Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I'd like us to begin with reading verse 25, 26, and 27. Again, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, 26, and 27. Let's read that together, reading it out loud, beginning in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Again, we thank you for each one that's here. Help those that could not come. And Lord, I pray that you'd give safety to those that are traveling. And Lord, I just pray that as we look into this text, a familiar part of the Bible, help us, Lord, to get the truth that you're trying to drive home. Guide my words. Fill me with your Spirit. Help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, as I was reading my Bible this last week, came across this passage. And here's a woman who had a very serious health problem. Look there in verse number 25. Verse 25, the Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Oh, we'll get into that in just a minute. But obviously, she had a very difficult health issue. Look there in verse 26. The Bible says, and had suffered many things of many physicians. So she went to doctors. That's often where we go when we have a health problem. She went to doctors to try to get some help. Instead of getting help, look at the rest of verse 26. It says, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. None of them could help her. She tried every health avenue. And I think there are probably some people, after she tried all those doctors, that said it's hopeless. Your situation is absolutely hopeless. Maybe she heard that so many times that she actually believed it herself. And yet, look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Although everybody else was telling her that her case was hopeless, she heard about what Jesus could do, and she decided, I'll try one more place. Look in verse 34. When she got to Christ, look what happened. Verse 34, and he, Jesus, said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Not only did the Lord help her in her hopeless situation, but the Bible says in verse 34 that God gave her a peace in her heart, a peace in her home. I'd like to preach on a few messages, and I'll only preach one this morning so you can relax. But I'd like to for us to look the next number of weeks at some hopeless cases. Now, maybe your case seems hopeless. Maybe someone that you're very close to, it seems that their case is hopeless. Maybe people have told you, why don't you just give up? There's no point in trying anymore. You've tried every avenue that you could possibly try. It's hopeless. And yet, I want you to see that in this particular situation, that's what probably she was hearing from people. You've tried all the doctors. There's no more doctors to try until somebody came her way and said, how about Jesus? He could help you. And again, because she took encouragement from that, Pastor, why would you preach on this? Because I think there are some people that are dealing with some hopeless cases. I think there are people that are trying to be help to a friend, and it just doesn't seem to work. Do you know, the answer is not going to be found in this world. The answer is going to be found in Christ. But not just getting to Christ. The answer is to be found in your placing your faith in the fact that Christ can. Look there in verse 34. Verse number 34. The Bible says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." So it wasn't just that this woman in a hopeless situation got to Christ. She had faith that God could heal her situation. This story is found right in between a bigger story. The bigger story, back up there, if you would, to verse number 22. Mark 5:22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he," that's Jairus, "saw him," that's Jesus, "he," Jairus, "fell at his," that's Jesus, "feet." Look at the request of this man. And verse 23, "and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and that she might live." Here's another man that was in a hopeless case. His daughter was sick. We find later in the passage that his daughter was just 12 years old, just a young girl. And he had obviously tried everything he could. He comes to Christ believing that Jesus is able to help. And so I'm saying to you, this chapter 5, it doesn't just have one hopeless case. In fact, it just doesn't have just two hopeless cases. Look back there in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 2. Mark 5 and verse 2, "And when he," Jesus, "was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." There's another hopeless case. Here's a demon-controlled, devil-controlled man, and they couldn't deal with him in town. They finally ran him out of town. He spent day and night in the tombs. They tried to chain him. He broke the chains. I'm saying to you, Mark chapter 5 has a number of hopeless cases. And yet, although they had tried everything else, when they finally tried Christ, and I use that term loosely, tried. You don't just try Christ like you try a pair of shoes. They came in desperation to Christ. And Christ did what no one else could do. You know, if you're caught in what you think is a hopeless situation, Jesus can. Maybe your situation is hopeless. May I say to you, it's not hopeless with Christ. You know, overcoming your sin is not hopeless, not if you get to Christ. Seeing your lost loved ones get saved, it's not hopeless. You know that your storm is not hopeless. Relief from that sickness is not hopeless. It might be everybody else is telling you, give up. I think that's what they were telling this particular woman. But she didn't give up. Thank God for it. So let's look here. And again, if you're taking notes, my title is The Case of the Sickly Woman. The Case of the Sickly Woman. Look there in verse 25. Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." This woman, it talks about the fact that she had some kind of an affliction. First, I'm talking about the suffering of this sickly woman. We read about her affliction. It says that she had an issue of blood. That word issue, when it's used in a context like this, it means there was a constant flowing. So her blood did not stop from running. Now, we all have blood that's running in our veins, I understand that. But this woman, if I could say it this way, she was hemorrhaging. Without getting into a medical lesson tonight, because you would be able to speak more of it than I could, but I know that many a woman does, for a day or two or three, have a bleeding issue. We'll hold it at that, but it stops. This woman's bleeding didn't stop for 12 years. That is the kind of affliction that she had. And it just never stopped. and she was a sick woman. That's the affliction that she had. Consider the anguish that she had. You can't keep losing blood and stay healthy. If you keep losing blood like she did, no doubt she was weak. No doubt that she lacked energy. It's not a stretch to believe that she was pale, that she had no self-drive, that she had no get up and go. It had all got up and went. This woman didn't have an ambition in her body to get anything done. I think if you look at the other word that describes what she had, look there at the end of verse 34. Jesus said at the end of all, behold of thy plague. Look at the end of verse 29. Felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. This thing was a plague. A plague is some word that we use to describe a health problem that never stops. It's kind of like being whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped again. I'm saying to you, we're looking at the suffering of this sickly woman. We looked at her affliction. The blood kept flowing. It wouldn't stop. Not only that was her affliction, but she had anguish that came from that. She had physical anguish. She also had medical anguish. Look there in verse 26. And had suffered many things and many physicians. We can understand that she would have suffered from this affliction. But that wasn't her only suffering. Look again at verse 26 of the wording. And had suffered many things of many physicians. She not only suffered from the affliction, she suffered from the physicians. Now, you know what? We've got 2,000 years, if we could say it that way, under our belt of doctors experimenting and trying this method to fix. And when they realize that doesn't work, they try something else. Folks, we've got 2,000 years of trial and error with doctors. And yet they still call their profession a practice. It's called a practice for a reason. They don't have all the answers. And so they're going to try this, and if that doesn't work, they're going to try that. Do you know, they've got a lot of it ironed out. I understand they haven't got it all figured out, but they got a lot of things ironed out. But here is a woman that has this affliction, this endless bleeding for 12 years. She's sick, she's weak, and she has got no ambition. She's not only hurting from her affliction, but she's hurting from the remedies that the doctors are prescribing to fix her affliction. You've probably heard as many quack remedies as I have. I looked up a few as I was preparing for this. Very strange remedies that doctors use to fix people's problems. One of them was bloodletting. How many of you ever heard of bloodletting before? Bloodletting was where doctors were convinced you had too much blood in you. And so they literally poke one of your veins and they'd let out blood. And I think they tried that in George Washington, if I'm not mistaken. They thought that the sickness was somewhere in bad blood. So again, they would cut a vein, drain some blood. If the blood didn't drain fast enough, they would literally go to a swamp, take a leech and put a leech on you so that leech could take out more blood. Pastor, that's crazy. And you know, it is crazy. You could understand why you would not only have pain from your affliction, but why you'd also have pain from a physician. That's a crazy remedy. Not only was that one way, there was another one that was called trepanation. I'll try to be careful. All that is drilling a hole in your head, because they figured something in there just has to come out. That is not something that you want to get in line to have somebody do to you. There were mercury. Now people are afraid of mercury, and so they're trying to take mercury out of stuff. They used to put mercury in you, and they figured if we just put more mercury in you, then you'll get better. And it promised that it would heal all the poisons. It even promised eternal life. But many who submitted to that, they died of liver and kidney damage because of mercury. It's craziness. I was reading this week as I thought about this woman. You see, well, Pastor, she didn't have mercury, and they didn't do bloodletting. Some of you, I think, have heard of the Talmud. How many of you ever heard of the Talmud? The Talmud is a collection of Jewish writings. Much of it was done after the nation of Jews were taken to Babylon. And while they were up there in Babylon, there were many writings of Jews, and much of the Talmud came from that period and after. In the Talmud, it had a description of the kind of physician's remedy for this woman. So this woman that's been bleeding for 12 years, this is the process that the Talmud would use to help this woman. Listen, if you would, first of all, it says, take of gum Alexandria, of alum, of crocus hortensis, the weight of a zusi each, whatever that is, let them be bruised together and given in wine to the woman that hath an issue of blood. Now you're going to hear, when if that didn't work, then take of Persian onions 9 logs. Boil them in wine. Wine is a consistent thing. Someone was convinced wine would do it, I think. And give it to her to drink and say, arise from thy flux. Third, if that should fail, set her in a place where 2 ways meet. And let her hold a cup of wine in her hand and let somebody come behind and affright her. And scare her to death, and say, arise from thy flux. That's just the third one. Said, if that didn't work, then if that did no good, take a handful of cumin and a handful of crocus and a handful of phene Greek. Let these be boiled and given her to drink, and say, arise from thy flux. But if that should fail, dig 7 trenches and burn in them some cuttings of vines, not yet circumcised, vines not 4 years old, and let her take in her hand a cup of wine, and let her be led from this trench and set down over that, and let her be removed from that and set down over another, and in each removal say unto her, arise from thy flux. I won't even read the 6th one. He said, Pastor, that's crazy. Do you understand why that verse number 26 says, and suffered many things of many physicians? People were guessing what they could do to help this woman. But you have to understand that none of that helped her. And so, again, she had physical anguish. And she had medical anguish. Third thing I'd have you notice is she had to have social anguish. This woman was no longer accepted in society. In fact, keep your hand there in Mark chapter 5. Turn over there to Leviticus 15. So almost at the very beginning of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15, and I want you to notice, because it's talking about a woman that has an issue of blood. That's exactly what Mark 5 is. There in, again, Leviticus 15, starting there in verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her, flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Here's a woman that had an issue of blood. Back in Leviticus, it said if you found a woman in this kind of case, you had to put her aside for 7 days. She wasn't allowed to touch anyone. She wasn't allowed to be with anyone, verse 20. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean unto the evening. Look at verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, so 7 days didn't do it. 7 days didn't clear up the affliction that she had. Again, verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, that's the 7 days. All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be under her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. One more, verse 27. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean unto the evening. Do you understand? Not only did this woman have physical anguish, she had pain. This woman also had medical anguish. She was hurting from all the ways that the doctors thought she could be healed. Third, she had social anguish. She was ostracized from society. They didn't want her in their house. They didn't want her in their company. She couldn't sit down at a table and eat with people because they would be unclean in the proximity of this sickly woman. She couldn't go to the market. She couldn't have fellowship with people. She couldn't go to the synagogue. She couldn't go to the temple. This woman was now hurting not only from the physical affliction of this blood that wouldn't stop, and she was not only hurting from all the doctor's quack remedies that didn't fix it, but she was hurting socially. But we're not told whether this woman was married, whether this woman had children. Maybe the lack of mention of either of those, who knows? Who knows whether she lost them all? Who knows whether they walked out of her life? This woman had anguish, and if that wasn't enough, that she had physical anguish and medical anguish and social anguish. But look there back in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. Again, Mark 5:26, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Do you know the last thing? She was in financial anguish. She spent everything that she had. Do you know that list from the Talmud, though I read five, I had at least six. They didn't do that for free. The person that was sick had to pay for each one of those steps. And every doctor that this woman went to charged her for yet another remedy that didn't help. They didn't give a refund because it didn't work. They took her money. In fact, let's read the verse 26 again. Bible says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I say the first thing that we notice is the suffering of the sickly woman. She suffered physically, she suffered medically, she suffered socially, she suffered financially. Again, at least in our country, we have help that the medical profession can give. Criticize all you want for Canada's medical plan. The country still pays for it. She paid for it and wasn't any the better. Could I say to you that this woman is a type of two different kinds of people? First of all, she's a type of every sinner. You and I, when we are born into this world, we're born with a sickness that would not heal itself. That sickness is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so this woman that had an issue, she had a blood problem, and her blood problem separated her from society, separated her from hope. And this woman is a picture of every sinner. Because folks, our problem as a sinner is a blood problem. We have tainted blood because of our sin. But you know, this woman not only is a picture of every sinner because of the sickness of sin, but this woman is also a picture even of a believer who has a burden that they cannot fix, who have a trouble that they cannot remedy. They have tried this and tried this and tried this in the world, and it has not brought them any relief. I say, preacher, that's me. I'm dealing with an issue. It's not a blood issue, pastor, but I'm dealing with a burden, with a heartache. I'm dealing with a trouble, an opposition. Pastor, I've tried everything. Then you are in the same boat as this woman. Again, we're looking this morning at the case of the sickly woman. First thing, we've seen the suffering of this sickly woman. She suffers physically, medically, socially, financially. Could I give you the next thing that we learn about her? Look there in Mark 5:27. And when she had heard of Jesus, do you know, in all of her hopeless case, the Bible says that somewhere, somehow, someone told this woman about Jesus Christ. We're not told what they told her. We're not told how they told her. Maybe they didn't even tell her. Maybe they were just talking to a third party and she overheard it. After all, not too many people would have wanted to come that close to this woman to begin with. So maybe there were two that were talking, and maybe they were talking about this man, Jesus, who was a miracle worker. You know, I looked before Mark chapter 5, there's a number of miracles that had already happened that Jesus was responsible for. In Mark chapter number 1, we read about a demon-possessed man in the synagogue and how Jesus healed him. Maybe this woman in Mark 5 somewhere heard that Jesus did that for a demon-possessed man. You know, in Mark chapter number 1, we also read about Peter's mother-in-law, how she was sick, and Jesus came to that home and healed Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe this woman heard about that. Maybe this woman, we read over there in Mark 1 about a leper and how Jesus healed the leper. Maybe this woman heard about that had already happened. Do you know, it could be in John 5, which happened before this. In John 5, we read about that man at the pool of Bethesda. And an angel came down and the first went into that pool after the stirring of the waters. Maybe this woman heard about that. Again, I'm saying there's all kind of miracles that happened before Mark 5. In Mark chapter 3, there was a man that had a withered hand in the synagogue. And Jesus healed that man's withered hand. In Mark chapter 3, there was a demoniac that was healed. In Luke 7, which is before this, a certain centurion's servant who was sick was healed. Here earlier in Mark chapter 5, there was a demon-possessed man that was healed. I'm saying to you that this woman had basically given up hope. And somebody, somehow, got the news to this woman that there was somebody that was outside of the medical profession that could heal her. If you're taking notes, we've already seen the suffering of the sickly woman. Secondly, would you write down the sower of hope to this sickly woman? The sower of somebody sowed the seeds of hope. If you'll just get to Christ, if you'll just get to Jesus, and maybe she, if she was told it directly, I'm imagining, if somebody somehow came to this woman and said, I know that you've tried everything that the medical field offers, but there is someone, his name is Jesus, and maybe her reaction was, I've tried everything already. And they said, but you haven't tried Jesus. Because Jesus can do what these others cannot do. I'm saying there was somebody that sowed hope. You know, there's people that they've given up. They're convinced, I've tried everything. Thank God for somebody that is determined to sow hope. Yeah, this world, for the most part, they're not saved. They're not going to heaven. They've not trusted Christ. Many of them have not heard that Jesus saves. And folks, by our trying to reach our Jerusalem, you know, all we're doing is sowing seeds of hope. Again, it might be that someone told this woman directly, but it might also be that two were talking and this woman just overheard it. Thank God for those that are still in the business of sowing hope, because there are plenty of people that are in hopeless situations. The last number of years, we didn't do it at this annual business meeting this year, but the last number of years, many of you would recognize the title, the Canadian Gospel Project. That project has been going on for years, and it's having John and Romans mailed to every mailbox across this country. They're almost done. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's either a portion of Quebec is last to be done or a portion of Newfoundland. I don't remember quite. But this is the last stretch of the Canadian Gospel Project. And though some will say, well, what would a John Romans and mailbox do? Well, it's one more gospel seed. Folks, I'm sure there are people who say, well, what good is it to hold up a scripture plaque? Pastor, what good is it to put a tract in a mailbox? Pastor, what good is it to knock on doors of people that just simply don't want to listen? Preacher, what good was it for somebody to tell this woman who had basically given up hope? Well, we know by the end of the story, sowing that seed in this woman's ear completely turned her situation around. But we got an update from Brother Stone, Al Stone, who oversees that Canadian Gospel Project. He said, we're just about done Canada. Then we're going to now go into the States, try to do the same thing in the States, much bigger country. But we're already thinking of new methods. And I think they're thinking of internet, social media, to get somehow that gospel message into people's cell phones. But he gave this testimony. He said there was a woman in Quebec not long ago who was given a copy of John and Romans in her mailbox, and she took it out of her mailbox. She briefly looked at it. She was kind of confused. The gospel didn't mean anything to her. So she put it into her purse. She carried that John and Romans around in her purse for 6 weeks. She was looking for somebody to explain what that meant. Why someone would send that, what it means. Lo and behold, she got made contact with a Bible-believing church in Quebec and talked to the pastor. The pastor said, I'd love to come by and explain what that's all about. The pastor went to her home, explained what it was, explained the gospel, explained that these are two books from the Bible, showed the verses from John and Romans that talk about Jesus has died on the cross to save you. And before he left that home, that woman bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. It all started with a seed of hope. Incidentally, from the testimonial, that woman now continues to go to that church, faithful to that church, loves God. I'm saying it's all a seed. Now, bring it back to this. This woman was in a hopeless situation. She had a sickness. And with that sickness came all kinds of anguish, all kinds of heartbreak. And yet somebody cared enough. Look again at the verse, Mark 5, verse 26. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Someone just talked about the Lord. Folks, we're still trying to do that every way we can. We're still in that business. As a church, we're still trying to reach our town. And it It might be a God. Say, well, Pastor, I didn't get to talk to anybody. Like, this Saturday, we're going out again. I hope that you join us. But you say, preacher, what good's a track in a mailbox? It's one more seed. One more seed. And so thank God. Thank God in this story for this woman that had basically given up. Do you know, we can only applaud whoever it was that told her. We're not told how. We're not told if someone gave her their personal testimony. We're not told if it was some disciple preaching on the street that did that back then. We're not told if it was someone who knocked on her door, though that's a little less likely because she couldn't come to a door. We're not told if it was someone that she simply overheard talking about Jesus. You can never go wrong talking about the Lord, because although we have him and know we have him and know we're going to heaven because of him, there's a lot of people that don't know that. I remind you of a very common verse, Romans 10:13. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a great promise. But listen to the next verse. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, we're excited about every person that trusts Christ as their Savior. But people can't do that if they haven't heard that Christ is their Savior. People can't call upon the Lord to save them if somebody hasn't tried. And so I say again, this with the suffering of the sickly woman, then the sower of hope. And I still believe that there are many others just like this woman who feel hopelessly trapped. It might be in their lost condition. Well, they need someone to tell them. There is hope. It might be that they're saved, but just dealing with something, they figure there's no hope. There is hope. Again, we've seen the suffering of the sickly woman, the sower of hope to this sickly woman. Look again at Mark 5, verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Do you know the first part of verse 27 is meaningless unless there's the second part of verse 27? Follow what I mean. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Do you know, if that good news had simply stopped there, if all that this woman did was hear that Jesus could help her, but did not, I'm going to guess she's at home, confined to her house, spend most of her day in bed because she's weak. If this woman didn't throw open the covers, put her feet out one at a time onto that floor, get up, get dressed, get out in the street, go find where Jesus was. The fact that she heard of Jesus wouldn't have done her any good unless she came up with a plan, came up with a scheme that she could get herself to the one man that could help her. Would you write this third thing if you're taking notes? The scheme of this sickly woman. She wasn't satisfied just hearing about it. Far too many that have heard that Jesus can help them, it goes no farther than the herd. And so again, to her credit, she gets out of bed. To her credit, she gets dressed. To her credit, she steps outside the door of her home and begins to make inquiry, where is this Jesus Christ? That's all to her credit. We thank God that she at least got that far. But now look at verse 27. Her bigger problem is still ahead of her. Look at her again, Mark 5, 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind the press. Now that's not, you know, that's not the newspaper. But you know, the press is just a group of people around Christ, a mob. This mob is curious about Jesus. They have heard what he could do. They have heard of his preaching. They have heard of his counsel. They have heard of his friendship. They have heard of his comfort. So he is now encircled with a mob of people. It's called the press. Now she has a bigger problem. She wants to get to Christ, but she can't, because now there is a press that prevents her. And so she comes up with a scheme. Because look at verse 27 again. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, I'd like to monopolize on this thing without belaboring the point. She's here, Jesus is there, and there is just a mob of people between her and Christ, between her and the problem. She could have at that point said, it's not going to work. He can't help me. Well, no, he can't help you if you're here. You're going to have to get there. And so this woman, bless her heart, although everybody has told her there's no hope, it's a hopeless case, to the point where maybe even she believes that, she said, I'm not going to give up here. And she comes up with a scheme. Now, I wish we had more detail. Maybe we'll get it when we get to heaven. Maybe when we get to heaven, we won't need it. I don't know. I don't know what she did to get through that crowd. I say, well, preacher, surely a dignified woman. What dignity did she have left? She was a basket case. She couldn't socialize with anybody. The doctors, after having absconciated, I think that's the word, absconciated every nickel that she owned, who knows whether she had to sell the last few treasures that she might have accumulated before this 12 years of sickness. Pastor, surely she wouldn't have gotten her hands and knees to, who knows? But she was not going to die a sickly woman here, when the answer was there. Now, I don't know what hopeless case that you face. Too many die here. Well, I tried. No, you didn't. To your credit, you got out of bed. To your credit, you got dressed. To your credit, you got out in the street. And as soon as you bumped into a mob, you gave up. And you're going to tell everybody you tried, but God and you know you didn't try. And so I don't know what the woman did, but she got all the way to Jesus Christ because she wanted to. Because she forced herself to. Because she didn't want to live the rest of her life like that. Look at the honesty of this woman. Look at verse 28. For she said, so she's speaking to herself, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I want you to notice in that verse 28, there is a two-letter word, if. If is the doubtful part of a statement. The doubtful part of verse 28 was not, could Christ make me whole? That's not, the if wasn't on the healing ability of Christ. The if was whether I get to Christ. Now, I want you to see that, because if yours is a hopeless case, it's not in the Lord's inability to help you in your hopelessness. It's in your inability to get to Christ. Look at verse 28. Look where the if is. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The if wasn't, can Christ heal me? The if was entirely upon if I can get to him, if I will get to him, if I will put aside everything else to get to him, I have no doubt that he can heal me. The if wasn't on Christ. The if was on her determination to not give up till she got to the one that could heal her. What's your hopeless case? The if is not on Christ being able to help you. The if is entirely upon your determination to get to the only one that can help you. I'm saying to you, she came up with a scheme. She decided that the Lord can. The question is, will I? Whatever our hopeless case is, the difficult factor isn't whether Christ can fix it. The difficult factor is how hard we'll labor to get to the only one that can fix it. How hard will we try? How much elbowing past? Could I say this? All that mob around Christ, I don't know that they all had a physical sickness. Then why were they mobbing Christ? Because they were just admiring Christ. In just a minute, the Lord's going to turn around and say, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are going to look at Jesus, "Lord, hundreds of people have touched you." Yeah, but they're all only touching out of admiring. They're just there because they want to look at him closer. It's not they're convinced I need Christ in my life. I need Christ's help. They're there because they're admiring Christ. She knew she had to get there because she absolutely needed Christ. And when you are convinced that you absolutely need to get to Jesus Christ to help you with whatever it is, boy, there's hope. No longer is it hopeless. It's hopeless if you depend on yourself. It's not hopeless if you get yourself to the Lord. Again, too many people, you know what, when they begin to see the risks, think of the risks. Listen, if, we'll keep her dignified for a minute, if she is just going to elbow her way through, well, you know what the risk was? They could elbow back. And so as soon as she elbows some big guy, that was a risk. And if we take away her dignity and she crawled between their legs, it would have been easy for anyone to kick that woman. She, regardless of the risk, she was going to get to Christ. She was going to do that. Not only the risk of being hurt, what about the pride factor? Woman, what are you doing down there? What? And sometimes, folks, it's our pride that keeps us from doing whatever is necessary to get to Christ. As she elbowed through the crowd, imagine if there was a neighbor there that knew this woman had this issue, and she was required by Old Testament law to stay separate from everybody else. They couldn't touch her. She couldn't touch them. Well, now she's risking somebody noticing and knowing it's her. And all of a sudden, the crowd leaping back because they were afraid to touch this unclean woman. I'm saying she had a whole lot of risk involved in trying to get to Christ. But it didn't matter. Listen, when you become desperate for God's help in your hopeless case, it won't matter what people say. It won't matter what people do. I'm saying to you, third, we find the scheme of this sickly woman. I guess the question, have you reached a place where you're desperate? Maybe you need to get saved, and you're, of course, your only hope is Jesus Christ. How many people recognize the message of the gospel, and they know they need to get saved? But what will others say? I wasn't raised pastor in a Bible church, and I was raised in a different religion. When you get so desperate to have your sins forgiven and go to that place called, it won't matter what anybody says. I say to you, if you have a hopeless case, in the situation that you deal with, how desperate are you for help? You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Hebrews says, "For we have not," double negative here, "for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Why should you carry that burden one more step? Why? I give you a fourth thing. I close with this. There, if you would, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 29. "And straightway," so she reaches Christ, "straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Folks, she had this for 12 years. For 12 years, the blood had not stopped running. For 12 years, she had been humiliated by doctors. For 12 years, she had spent every penny that she had to try to get some help, and none could help her whatsoever. And now what does she do when she finally reaches Christ and touches his garment? Incidentally, the same story that's recorded here in Mark 5 is also recorded in Matthew 9 and Luke 8. And she believed, if I could just touch his garment, it'll all be fixed. It wasn't the garment, folks. It was the faith that Jesus could do it. And so sure enough, she touches that garment there in, look at verse 29. "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried," right away, immediately. "And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." That's what she went for. And if you're taking notes, last point, the salvation of the sickly woman. The salvation of the sickly woman. You know what she went for that day? To get help from Christ, a help that she couldn't find anywhere else. So when she pushes her way through that crowd and finally gets to the Lord and reaches through and touches that garment, in a moment of time, she can tell that she's been healed. And I think as you read that passage in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I think that she had achieved what she set out to achieve, and she now backed off. She did all that pressing, pushing, and humiliating to get her physical body healed. When she touches Christ, she instantly has what she wanted. And I think she stopped. What would she press for anymore? She's got what she wanted. And I think as Jesus intended to keep walking and as that crowd continued to keep going, I think that this woman just kind of stood still. She got what she wanted. She wanted physical healing. But Jesus wanted so much more. Jesus wasn't content just physically healing this woman. Pastor, how do you know that? Because Jesus stopped. Look there in verse number 30. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Now, the Lord knew exactly what happened when she touched his garment. And the Lord turns around and said, "Who touched me?" And again, the disciples, they just scratched their heads. Look at there, verse 31. "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" Lord, hundreds of people have touched you. He said, "Yeah, but this was different." He turned around, which means he stopped going forward. He turned around, and I think he eyed this woman. And I think at that moment she was so fearful. Listen, for 12 years she'd been humiliated by doctors. For 12 years she had been humiliated by people. People wouldn't have anything to do with her. And now Jesus turns around, almost sounds a little angry. "Who touched me?" I wonder if she, just out of fear, Bible says there in verse number 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. I mean, this woman got what she came for. She was perfectly content to let the crowd pass her and head back home. She got what she wanted. But Jesus didn't get what he wanted. Do you know the Lord is far more interested in just helping our hopeless case? He wants so much more than that. Folks, some people come to church to put in the time. Well, I've been in church. I've done my daily duty, our weekly duty. Do you know the Lord wants more than that? The Lord wants a whole lot more than that. And if all that you came to church this morning was to put in that hour and a half, boy, you've fallen so far short of what the Lord wants. And so again, this woman, she got the healing. She was prepared to just let the crowd pass her by as she could head home. And the Lord said, "Who touched me?" The Lord knew it was. It's not that it was a mystery to the Lord. And this woman trembling, this woman fearful, what might this man say to me? How might he embarrass me? And she came to Christ and got down on her knees. And look at the very end of that verse 32. End of the verse, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. This woman, fearing. Lord, I've had this issue of blood for 12 years, and I've gone to the doctors, and they couldn't help me, and I've spent everything. And Lord, I've heard that you do miracles, and Lord, she can't stop talking. Now, she's talking about this sickness that has isolated her from people in the midst of people. Well, I wonder if she thought about that. But she's not talking to people. She's talking to the Lord. You know, that's what God wanted. She just wanted to be healed and go on her merry way. She just wanted this 12 years of this issue of blood to be fixed so she could just live her life. She wanted to be healthy so she could get her family back again. She wanted to be healthy so she could get her job back again. She wanted to be healthy so she could fellowship with the neighbors. She just wanted a touch with the Lord so then she could go on living her life the way she always wanted it. But that's not what the Lord wanted. You know, the Lord, it's like the Lord was saying, "Ma'am, I can heal the blood problem. But you need more than the blood problem fixed. You need me." And so come on back instead of getting lost in the crowd again. Come on back. And when she fell on her knees and she began unloading her heart to the Lord was now satisfied with this woman. Pastor, how do you know that? Because look at verse 34, Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, I'm trying to bring it all together in just a couple minutes. I'm trying. She just wanted to be whole of the plague. She really wasn't, her ambitions weren't any more than that. But you know, because she came and got down on her knees before the Lord and began this conversation and unloading her heart, and do you know, notice what the Lord calls her, verse 34. The Lord calls her daughter. That's a family term. Up to this point, look there at verse 25. Verse 25, when she's introduced as a certain woman. So in verse 25, she's just a woman. There's another place in the text where she's called, look at verse 33. But the woman, listen, she's just a woman in the text until she begins to have this intimate conversation with the Lord, telling him everything. And now Jesus looks at her and says, daughter. Well, that's now a relationship. That's a family term. That's not just a stranger that's come for a big favor and gone. And may I say to every one of us, including me, God wants to be more than heaven's bellhop that we can ding when we have a pressing problem. Oh, he can fix the pressing problem. That's never the issue. He just wants something more than just to fill your prescription. He wants you. He wants your time. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants to hear you talk to him. And this woman says, or the Bible says, she told him all the truth. Jesus wants you to be honest with him. Listen, folks, we can be playing games even in church and just go through the routine so that we can say we got it done. And just like the Lord stopped this woman and said, stop. Who touched me? And the disciples said, a lot of them have touched. No, they're touched with something different. Somebody touched me. Out of faith, they knew that they needed me. They began to talk to me. They began to listen to me. I'm saying this woman got a whole lot more than a 12-year issue of blood healed. She got a relationship. She's called daughter. What are you looking for in Christ? You just want him to fix this present problem so that you can go on your merry way. You won't bother the Lord. Lord, don't you bother me. The Lord has so much more. And the Lord might just have allowed this 12 years of sickness to bring this woman to the end of herself. Until she was convinced, I need Jesus Christ. I don't know if you got up this morning and read your Bible. If you didn't, it's because you didn't think you needed to. When you realize I need to hear from God, you got something. I don't know if before he came to church this morning, you spent some time alone talking to God. If you didn't, it's because you didn't think you needed to. It was a great day when this woman realized, I need to get a hold of God. We sang the song earlier, I need thee every hour. Now, folks, it's true. But a lot of Christians, they're not convinced of that. I can handle it. Lord, I kind of need you for a few minutes to fix this hopeless case. But Lord, when you do this, I won't bother you. Don't be bothered. No, no. God wants so much more than that. And this woman who was fearful of what Jesus might say, in contrast to what she was afraid of, he called her daughter. He told her there in verse 34 that she was whole of this plague, that she could go in peace. She got so much more. And may I say to you, the Lord can give so much more. But you've got to want it. Vance Havner, a preacher many, many years ago, he said, the tragedy of our time is that our situation is desperate. But we who are saints are not desperate. Now, folks, we're facing some pretty critical things. I know the lives of some people here, some pretty critical things. But do you understand, if you don't get a hold of Christ and his help and his strength and his peace, you'll be a statistic. Let's pray. Father, we have looked at a woman that was in a hopeless case. Medically, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. We're not talking about 2 weeks or three, 12 years. She suffered physically. She suffered medically. She suffered socially. She suffered financially. One day, somebody in her hearing talked about what Jesus could do, and that woman put together a scheme, how I'm going to get to Christ. And she got to him. And she got healed. And she was satisfied. That's all that she wanted out of Jesus. But Jesus wanted so much more out of her. Lord, would you bring us to the place? And if you let this 12 years of a health issue to bring her to this place, thank God for the 12 years of health issue. Lord, maybe, just maybe, you've allowed impossible, hopeless cases in lives here to bring us to the point where we realize, I need Jesus Christ. I need his help. I need his walk. I need his words. Lord, the song is true. I need thee every hour.